Amen. All right. Children's Church, you're upstairs today. Jake said you're here. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Just want to take time to acknowledge, too, the Children's Church. Brother Jake Cook does a great job at Children's Church and those that help him. And then Brother Matt, he's got one of our ties on because he's a great sub and he fills in a whole lot. And he's been holding the reins for Brother Joe, and we appreciate him in doing that. And we're just grateful. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2. And the Word of God says this. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who do rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the work, Lord, that you allow to take place here, Lord. I thank you for all the hands, Lord, that put their hand on the plow and push forward, Lord, to ensure that we're keeping up, Lord, your word, that we're proclaiming your word, we're teaching it to the young people, we're hearing it from the pulpit, Lord. I just pray that you would continue to help us to hold up your word and, Lord, to magnify you in the place that you belong in church, Lord. We just pray that you would walk with us today and give your Holy Spirit to guide us along in the scripture this morning, Lord. Please help me to say the things that, Lord, that you've shared with me, Lord, and help our hearts to receive it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the great opportunities and how, Lord, everybody has an opportunity, Lord, to serve and to grow in this place, Lord. Please help this place remain that way. Help it remain a beacon of light and truth in this community, Lord. I pray and ask for your help this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we approach this morning and we recognize the advancement of different stages of learning, it's always a blessing, by the way, regarding our young people, there's a word which bears some thoughtful reflection among all the allure today. The word is education. With the term Sunday school, we may have thoughts that this is the structured time that's given to instill scripture and biblical principles into those who attend, and it is. With the term Sunday school, we may have thoughts that this also is a specific place where we trust our children to learn those concepts and have some aspect or of retention of these things and application, and it ought to be that. We may view Sunday school as a time of focused discipleship and fellowship with those in the same season of life, and this too is also a part of Sunday school. However, this period of time is but a drop in the bucket of a passing on of knowledge that cannot be achieved in a moment of discipleship each week. Rather, educating is a continual and dynamic process that should be taking the place in the house, in the homes of every Christian commanded to bring up their children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Much can be accomplished with a godly home and the added stability and support from the local church. If you do not look at education in this manner, you can't be sure that the world system views it this way. One of the early proponents of public education and mandatory attendance at public school, John Dewey, he said this in 1897. He said, "I believe that all education proceeds by the participation of the individual in the social consciousness of the race. This process begins unconsciously almost at birth and is continually shaping the individual's powers, saturating his consciousness, forming his habits, training his ideas, and arousing his feelings and emotions. Through this unconscious education, the individual gradually comes to share in the intellectual and moral resources which humanity has succeeded in getting together." How devastating and crazy is it, the things that they're getting together? And he says he becomes an inheritor of the funded capital of civilization. The most formal and technical education in the world cannot safely depart from this general process. It can only organize it or differentiate it in some particular direction. So they're educating for a purpose, and we ought to be too. The term etymology is simply the origin from which a word is derived. So I looked into the word education, and education is derived from a Latin word, educare, which means to express a principle of directing or guiding. And additionally, the related term to educate, educere, means to reveal, expose, to bring forth, or to lead out. Thus, the concepts of education and to educate is a leading or directing out of something and toward something. It is bringing one from a sense of not knowing or being familiar with something to a sense of knowing or familiarity with that thing. It is leading one on a course or journey to a desired end. What is that end, pray tell? Well, it is wisdom. You heard that term multiple times in this passage of Scripture, and I'm not talking about wisdom of man, but the godly sort. And since only the pure and the holy are presentable to God, the quest for holiness is both our trajectory and the means by which we ought to be directed along this way in attaining this wisdom. Therefore, our related pursuits, including educational ones, they should reflect that. Direction's important. I don't see Brother Stevens here, but Pastor, you're in here, and Brother Kloss, I don't know if both of you did the land navigation in the military, but it was important to know where you're going. And we would get a map, and a map is a document that just identifies terrains and features and distances in the described area of that map. And then you get a compass, and the compass is simply the instrument that it helps you determine the direction you're on. The Bible is both our map and compass today, and it's best suited to provide direction for our lives. With that said, I want to preach on this thought, direction for life's path. The difference between a correct and a corrupt compass. The first landmark connected with direction for life's path is this. The duty concerning direction. The duty. We all have a duty. In verses 1 through 5, we see a duty. There's a duty that's given. With regard first to our hearing. He says, the author, which is Solomon, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." It's interesting here because the father here learned because he listened. What did he have? He had personal acceptance and reverence for God's word. Look at what the text says. He says, "My words and my commandments," meaning he heard them and he received them. So now he's going to pass the very same thing on to his son. Notice the words, though, "receive," is also precluded by a choice. If thou wilt. That's where it comes in for each one of us. If thou wilt. Every time that preacher gets up here, anytime that any preacher gets up here, or you go to a revival service, or if you come into Sunday school and they open the word of God, it's a "if thou wilt receive." That's how it is. Following that, the first definitive term that is regarding direction is the word "incline." Recline means to lean back or away from. Many of y'all got those really nice chairs, big comfy ones. Boom, you get comfortable and fall asleep, right? But incline is to lean in or to move forward or toward that object. Isaiah 30, 21 says this, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You should understand that what we're talking about in these passages that we read today and the ones that I share, we're going to hear a lot about direction. We're going to hear directional terms, way, path. All those things are applicable today because that's what we're doing. We're walking down a direction in life, and these children are walking down a direction in life, and we're hoping that they will follow the Lord as we follow the Lord. Now, in order to be facing the right direction in life, though, we must have the personal connection with the Word of God and the relationship with the author. And let me add this one in here, too. Music. Music, which is taken in the ear, can also be a directional means of godly educating one towards wisdom. Musical choices are directional. They're indicative of where we are headed. Listen to Colossians 3:21. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? In psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So their music is directional. And we can teach and we can learn through music. I've learned a whole lot of bad things through the music I listened to before I got saved. It's hard. Here's a warning from John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. Are you of God today? Now, there's a duty regarding our direction with regard to our hearing. And there's also a duty with regard to our hearts. 1 Kings 4:29 says, and God gave Solomon wisdom. And understanding is seeing much. And we're like, great, Solomon was the wisest man. But listen to what he adds here. And largeness of heart. Largeness of heart. Even as the sand that is on the seashore. I love knowledge. I love learning. I love pouring things in. But if I don't have the heart that goes along with that, then I'm missing something. Now look in Exodus 28:3 when they were choosing and working on the priest. He says, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So God is telling them to pick out the wise hearted and those with the spirit of wisdom. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, what? Bringeth forth good things. There's another directional term. Bringeth forth, bringing out, right? And it says, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So there's a duty with regard to our hearing and with regard to our heart. And then we also see there's a duty with regard to the hunt. In verses 3-5, we see a hunt for something. It says, if you thou criest after knowledge and liftest up their voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. There's a hunt. There's something we should be actively pursuing. Godly wisdom has immense value, especially nowadays in this world. To go after godly wisdom is a worthy pursuit. Notice the words criest after, seekest, and searchest. These are active words of somebody desperately going after the things of God. Now, gold and silver, it mentions, it has value in our currency, right? Before we had dollar bills, before we had paper money, it was backed by gold and silver. People used gold and silver to purchase goods or provisions or other needs, things that people wanted or desired. But listen, this hunt lies within the greatest value, the knowledge of the holy, of God. When you seek characteristics and wisdom of God, you know what you do? You purchase virtues for your soul, which is vastly more important than anything we can attain in our pocketbooks. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And we want that. And Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, the knowledge of the holy. We have to keep considering that this is our duty to pursue. Now, there's a dereliction of duty in the lives of many Christian and in some Christian parents these days. Dereliction means the act of leaving with an intention not to reclaim, an utter forsaking or abandonment. We hear some things where you see a fireman or a policeman or a soldier that doesn't do something. It's called dereliction of duty. Your duty was to do this and you didn't do that. parents, our duty is to educate our children. If you're not a parent or you're a stand and you're somebody that's helping, then that would be your duty at that time. Many of our young people, they're failing to take hold and instead abandoning the truth and the principles and the values and the framework for all of life that's connected with the biblical view of the world. Perhaps it's because they have watched us do so. In order to address this bleeding wound that is claiming the spiritual lives of our children, we have to cultivate a desire to listen and embrace the truth in our own lives prior to attempting to place it into the lives of others. It begins with our intention and willingness to listen and involves the state of our heart. And the state of our heart is the seat of our affections and our desires. It's also the seat of our sins. And then it's expressed in our hunt, which shows what we truly value and hold dear. As a father or mother, as someone who is responsible for the education of a young person, how do you view your duty to direct today? What does it look like to you? Do you see it as your responsibility or that of somebody else? Right? Do we just subcontract out these things to other people and then we yell at them when our kids don't do right? It's on us to make sure that they know these things. Yeah. How do you listen to God in His Word when it's opened? Our children watch us. Are we attentive? Are we paying attention? Are we seeking after those things? Where is your heart directed? And what is it that you value and are hunting for? What about you, young person? Those in the front rows, how do you see your duty to allow for godly direction in your life? Are you receiving it or are you pushing against it? Do you direct your ears and your heart and your hunt toward God and the Bible or away from it and towards other people and their principles and their ways in a fallen society? You have to choose. The first landmark connecting to direction for life's path was a duty concerning our direction. There is a duty, and we all have it. The second landmark connected to direction for life's path is there's a distribution concerning direction. In verses 6 through 9, we see a distribution. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up the sound wisdom for righteousness. For righteous, he is a buckler." So he's the one providing these things. The distribution concerning direction is with regard to its source. Wisdom resides with God, and it's only him who can give it. Daniel 2:20 says this, "Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." That means he possesses them. Anybody that gets anything right, gets it right because we figure something out that he's revealed. It's no other way other than that. Colossians 2:3 says, "In whom are hid." Who is that? Who is the in whom? It's Christ. "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." They're hid in him. That's why we have to hunt for them. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." So he is the source. The distribution concerning the direction is regarding its source. It's also regarding its shield. If you see there in verse 7, it says, "He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." A buckler is a portable type of shield. It's a shield that allows the wielder to both defend and attack at the same time, kind of complementary. So you're doing two things at once. A godly direction is accompanied by a distribution of defense, but it will also provide a barrier while you attack and defend against the wisdom of the wicked. It's a back and forth. We're always challenged with things that are put before us. Is this true? Is this right? Should I pursue this? Should I not? Is this of God? Is this not? We're always defending and attacking these things. Psalm 84:11 says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold from them that walk uprightly." Again, another directional term, one that walks uprightly. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." We need to do these things. God's wisdom is a shield. It's a shield to so many things that we get involved in. Many of us would probably say, many of us who have certain things in our past we would like to get rid of or not like to be there. I know God can use things, but there are some things that I'd like not to have on that record. But when you put God's wisdom in your heart earlier on, this is why it's important, young people. This is why it's important for Sunday school. Because if you put those things on in earlier, you have a better defense, a better shield against what's coming at you. And there is a whole lot of things coming at our kids nowadays. They need that shield. They need it. Now, there's also, it regards a surety. In verses 8 through 9, a surety. It says of God, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Godly wisdom is complete in all of its forms, everything. And it should be the desire of every Christian to both teach and to learn it in its entirety. James 3:17 says this, but the wisdom that is above is first pure. Then it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. All those things are complete wisdom. Micah 6:8 gives us what we should do. He said, he has showed thee. He showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Another directional term, walk. You know what's required of you. Do these things. God in his word is the only truly reliable source of wisdom and direction for our lives. Furthermore, both are always available for one to focus their moral and spiritual compass and make those needed course adjustments. See, there comes a time where you got to look up from the compass and you got to maybe reshoot where you're pointing and making sure that you're on the right track. And we have to do that at times. Sometimes we just got to look up from what we're doing. We got to look up from that compass, look at the land around us, and make sure that things are correct and that we're in the right way. Now, the distribution from God is also a protective factor in the life of a Christian. I'm just not sure that we always position ourselves in a way to receive every aspect and adequately draw from the source of our Heavenly Father has provided for us. In our daily pursuits, we ignore God's word. We neglect the local church. We fail to live accordingly to the beliefs that we claim before others. And then we wonder why our children and young people got to where they are. It's on us. I also fear that all too often we point our internal compasses toward the so-called experts and authorities of the world, while dismissing the authority of Scripture and counsel within a local church. Man, we're always ready to point it out there. What's the economist say? What's the doctor say? What's this person say? What's the lawyer say? What's the politician say? But we never point our compasses at what does God say about what I'm about to do? This decision that I want so bad, what does God say? And then after you ask that question, maybe you don't hear from them or you don't open your Bible, but you have a faithful Christian friend and you go, hey, what say you? My brother or sister in Christ, hopefully they have an answer. But we need those things. The experts don't always have it right. Do you treat God's distribution as the first and overarching source of all your life's needs? How do you handle the distribution offered by God? Do you handle it with precision and care? Or do you handle it with thoughtlessness and disregard? How do we take the distribution of God in our lives? Do you see it as a protective factor? Or is it just a barrier to your flesh? God's direction leads to the sure things in life. What sure things? How about compassion? Does anybody like compassion? I do. What about lasting love? Not infatuation, not that I love you and I'm out the door. I'm talking about lasting, real love. I'm talking about 50 plus years of marriage. I'm talking about parents who don't walk away from their children, who stay together. I'm talking about generational, Brother Miller, generational people in the church. Lasting love. People that stay with it no matter what. I remember my youth leaders, I was a draw on them. I was terrible. I mean, you wouldn't like to have known Brother Mike back then. I pushed every button and they kept coming. And I'm like, why do they care? And I would push another button, and then they'd still just keep going. That's the lasting love. I knew something was there. We need that. What about security? What about identity, dignity, belonging, purpose, competence, and all these things? These are things, short things in life that we want, that we desire. Are these a part of your life today, or are you still trying desperately to locate them? Perhaps you need to rethink the source, the shield, and the surety of your distribution. The first landmark we talked about was in the direction of life's path was the duty concerning our direction. And then we talked about the distribution concerning the direction. The third landmark for life's path is the disparity concerning direction. We find this in verses 10 through 20. In verses 10 through 20, you're going to see a lot of different things taking place here. But I'm going to define disparity for you first, because this is Sunday school graduation, so we got to have a little bit of teaching in here, right? Disparity means an irregularity, difference in degree, in age, rank, or condition of excellence. As a disparity of year, of age, disparity of a condition or a circumstances, followed by, of, or in. We say disparity in or of our years, or it's an unlikeness or dissimilitude. So we're going to see a lot of unlikenesses. So what we find in verses 10 through 20, we see how we view learning as pleasant to the soul. You know what that's called? That's called teachability. How teachable are we? How teachable are we, Brother Colossus class, right? How teachable are we, teens? How teachable are we, whatever age group you are? Then we see stuff like discretion, which means purpose, path of uprightness, good men, path of the righteous. There's the one side. Now we see the other side. What's the other side? We see in these passages the way of the evil man, speaking froward things. Froward means perverse. Ways of darkness, people that rejoice in doing evil. A lot of people are doing that these days. They delight in frowardness of the wicked. That means people who like wicked perverseness. Crooked ways, strange women, meaning loathsome, alienated, or as a prostitute. It says that she turns away from godly guidance. She forgets or puts out of her mind the gospel of God. That's the covenant of God. The house of death, the paths of the dead. You see the disparity? It's there. There's a disparity in the direction. There are two directions, and we are on one of the two directional paths of where we're headed. And how do we get there? How do we figure this out? Well, the disparity concerning direction, first of all, it's regarding our attitude. Look at verses 10 through 16. It's our attitude. 10 through 16 says, when wisdom enters into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Is God's word pleasant? Discretion is purpose. Purpose will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. There's a lot of people walking around with no purpose. They don't have the right attitude. What will the attitude do? The attitude towards God, if you love his word, it can deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. It used to be said, right, no good thing happens after midnight, right? We don't go out and do things because we know things are going to take place that aren't good. We stay away from those things. We don't put ourselves, this is what we call in my world, and when I direct people in the safety things, we tell people you got to separate and then have a plan B, right? If you're driving down the road and you're getting ready to fill up your car and you see a bunch of people gathered and it doesn't look good, you don't stop at that gas station. You keep going to the next one and then maybe you stop there. But the first thing you do is you don't stop there. Do you get the plan B? What's the plan B? Where's the next gas station? Can I make it? And even if I can't make it, I'll push before I stop at that one. And that's what we have to do with life. We have to separate ourselves from certain things and then go to plan B. It's direction. But there's an attitude. Our pursuits and our actions are in direct proportion to how we view God's wisdom. If we see God's wisdom as desirable, then of course our thoughts and our words and deeds, They're going to please him. And then they're going to enhance other people. But contrastingly, if our attitude towards the things of God are perceived as undesirable, then our actions are going to be displeasing to God. And in turn, they're going to rob God of his worthiness and others of their dignity and value. It's just the way the world works. Let's take a moment to review some disparities related to our desire or lack thereof concerning God and his wisdom. For instance, we have the worship of God. The right thing to do, the pleasing thing that God desires for us to worship him. And then we have idolatry. There's the disparity, right? These are simple. This is nothing new. We've heard these before. Or there's honesty. And then there's lying. Nobody likes to be told falsehoods. They don't. But people do it all the time. Why? It's a disparity. We have chastity versus lustfulness. It's out there. Temperance or self-control versus what? Overindulgence. We have these things. How about cheerful giving versus greed? How about diligence versus slothfulness? How about patience versus anger? or kindness versus being envious or humility and pride, right? These are disparities. And whether or not we're looking towards God and wanting to please him, or we see his things as pleasant, then we're going to get those pleasant things. If we don't, we're going to be the other. Job 23:12 says this, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." He appreciates God's word more than the thing he needs to physically survive. Isaiah 30:12-13 says this, "Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness," and here's another direction term, "and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant." How many people are doing the things undesirable to God, falling those things, and then boom, in an instant, that wall collapses, that breach gets so big, and then it just falls. We see this all the time. It's not good in the lives of people. So there's an attitude about this. But let's look at what comes after the attitude. Then there's an abandonment. In verses 13 through 17, we see people who what? They lead the path of righteous. They walk away from that. They rejoice in evil and not in good. Their ways are crooked. They're not straight. And they don't get delivered. They're walking towards these things. There's an abandonment. The word discretion, again, means purpose. The path directed towards God leads to purpose. They also lead to a preservation and an understanding that what? That keeps us from destructive paths. When we have God's wisdom in our hearts, we're less likely to be on destructive paths. Right? Why? Because if God loves me and God came in bodily form and he rose in bodily form and he's there interceding on my behalf, that means the body matters, then I probably shouldn't put stuff in my body that's not good for my body, right? We don't want to do those things because why? It'll take me to places of darkness. It'll get me on a crooked path. And then sometimes that path we'll talk about is hard to come off of. Ephesians 4:17-18 says this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." And what does Jeremiah 6:16 say? It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." They didn't want to listen. But he said, seek the old paths. The word old is like ancient. And it has the term, what pastor uses, the perpetuity. There's a perpetuity to this, and that's there. And that's what we should be seeking. Those things that have always worked, that God has always desired for each and every one of us. They're timeless, we call them. Timeless principles. And then what happens if our attitude's poor, if our attitude's not right? We don't have that. And then if we abandon those things that are good, well, guess what? What are we going to attain to? That's in verses 18 through 20. What do we attain to? Look at verses 18, 20. What? The ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths. And then we get to 18, "to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." We need to be delivered from these. But what does she do? She forsaketh the guide of her youth. I don't care about the things I was taught as a kid. They walk away. They say, I don't want that anymore. And then forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. And then here it is. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. When I'm looking at that, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of those that are addicted to drugs. They get so far down the line, and they just can't reclaim. They can't get back anymore. It's got them. It's a path. It's a direction that somebody took because that the wisdom of pleasing myself, the wisdom of feeling some kind of euphoric moment was more important than the good things of God. The crooked path was more important than the good path. And then so what do you get? This is what you get. This is what you attain to. You don't get out, and it's death, the house of death, and the path of the dead. That's it. You get cut off. It is not good. Psalm 81:12 says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Fine, you want to do that stuff? Go ahead. Then you can walk in your own counsels. And that's how we find counsel. What's our own counsels? That's people telling us exactly what we want to hear. Oh, we're so sorry for you. Oh, we feel so bad for you. We know it's just so tough. That's not godly wisdom. Godly wisdom says, I made you, I created you. Yeah, it's broken, but I fixed it. If you lean into me, you come close to me, I can do some things for you. I can change some things in your life. But it's going to take some work. And you're going to have to change how you feel about yourself based upon what I say about you. Yeah, there's wickedness in you. Yeah, there's sin in you, but I can deal with that. That's godly wisdom. Revelation 22:11 says this, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. But in he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. You can attain to holy things if you're walking in the direction of holiness. Matthew 7:14 says this, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find us. The narrow gate's there, it's just a harder one than the one that we rarely choose. Why? Because we neglect or put away godly wisdom. Listen, the frequency or intensity and magnitude of your obstacles, your distractions, your hardships, blunders, disappointments, whatever you want to call it, they provide a lot of disparity in the direction of our lives. We can get going and then one of these things can sidetrack us. But listen, these circumstances can educate us either away from God and right out of his divine direction and purpose for our lives, or if our attitude's right, it can direct us right back in towards God when we lean in. But it all depends on if our attitude's right and whether or not we abandon his directives. If we do that, if we abandon his directives, it's going to have a disrupting effect on what we're aiming for. One author said this. He said, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. If you aim at earth, you're going to get neither. So listen, if we aim at heaven, if we're looking for the things of God, guess what? You may experience some blessings. You may get some joy. You may have some, I'm not gonna call it rich, but God's going to take care of you to make sure that those things are provided for. You may struggle, but he's not going to see the righteous what? Out begging for bread. He's going to care for our needs. That's what he does. So, but if you're just aiming for the earthly things, you're going to be so pursuant upon those things, and you're going to get none of it. And the things that you do have are not going to satisfy worth anything, because that's worldly wisdom. Those things can't satisfy fully. This is just a quote. It's a human echo of Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are those things? Those things that I value, right? The compassion, the lasting love, the stuff that doesn't matter whether you have this much or this much, because it's how much you have this much of that really, really matters. Listen, God revealed himself to us in his word. Thus he let us know that he can be known. And what does that mean? That means there's a disparity between right and wrong, good and evil, true and false. All those things can also be known. Educating and education is a directing first of ourselves and then others to know God and to be known of him. A right relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way to see our spirits sanctified, to see our souls purified, to see our minds renewed, lives transformed, and our purposes redirected. Rightly understanding and instructing about the disparities in this world is the only way to educate and effectively lead others out of the wisdom of the heathen and into the wisdom from heaven. Remember, we're trying to lead out of something. We're trying to educate others into a path. How's your attitude today? Have you abandoned the things of God in your mind before you even sat down in church today? I hope that's not you. What do you hope to attain if you reject the gospel of God in your life? What are you going to attain? What does it look like for you? And that's what we'll find out. The first landmark connected to the direction for life's path was our duty concerning the direction. The second landmark, we're walking on a course here, the direction for life's path was the distribution concerning our direction. The third landmark was the disparity. And the fourth and final is the destination. Where are we finally ultimately getting to? Is your compass correct or is it corrupt? The destination concerning our direction is this. It's either virtuous or it's vile. Verses 21 through 22, he says this, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. The destination concerning a direction. the virtuous. Isaiah 1:18 through 19 says this. He says, come now and let us reason together. You know what that is? That's education. That's God saying, come on. Let's talk this out. Reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. What's the good of the land? Whatever it is he has for you. The first good of the land is the land that we need our hearts to be renewed. We need our hearts to be sanctified. We need our hearts to be justified. We need our sins to be forgiven and be right with God. That's number one. That's what we need to be virtuous, to have a good destination. Well, what about the vile? Malachi 4:1 says this, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and that it shall leave them neither root nor branch, fully consumed. And listen, while you're on the path of ungodly wisdom, you are being consumed. The process has already begun. Whether your thoughts for God, whether the goodness of your relationships, whether the purity of your body, those things are being consumed when you walk on destructive paths. Psalm 37, 1 through 6 says this, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way directional unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Education has led and is leading us all somewhere. For some, it's places of wealth and worldly success. For some, it's places of intellectual prowess. For some, it's the fulfillment of our lustful desires. Thankfully, for some, it's toward the things of God and the byproducts of his eternal goodness. To what destination is your direction leading? Where are you headed? Is your education, your educating, is it leading you or others out of evil in the wisdom, or into the wisdom of God? Or is it leading you away to an untimely end of which you may and ultimately will find no recovery? Is your compass correct or corrupt this morning? Where is it at? It's going to be known. It's going to be shown. The destination is clear. Where are you at today? Do you have a right relationship with Christ? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that if you die, you'd be in heaven? That's the first direction. You want to know that that's the home that you're headed to. That's number one. If you've made that decision, well, what did you do with it? Did you grab onto that? Did you fix your compass? Did you say, this is the way and I'm going to walk in it? Or was it cool for a couple months and then now it's not and I'm walking away? We all have to decide those things because it's not about whether it's cool. It's about whether it's true and what that truth produces in our lives. You may not get everything that you possibly want. You may not feel good about everything that happens or takes place, but at least you'll know it's true. But I can tell you what, I've seen better things at the hand of God than I've seen at the hand of men. I've seen God bless people. I've seen people love. I've seen people come with compassion and do things that were quite out of character for them, because anything I do out of compassion is out of character for me because I'm a sinner. I want to please Mike. I want to do the things I want to do. I want to be alone. Put me on a mountain. Leave me there. That's not what God wants. He says, I gave you this. I gave you ability. You can work. You can provide. You can do this. You can welcome people in. You can be hospitable. And I say, but that's hard. And he says, that's okay. This is the way of wisdom. Walk in this, because this is what I desire for you. If you walk towards yourself, what are you going to get? Maybe something for a time. Maybe it's a whole lot of debt. Maybe it won't affect you, but the one that's falling behind you, maybe it will them. Because all the things that you desired and you walked after, they're going to desire and walk after, and God won't be any part of it. And then you won't worry or you won't cry until they're in a hospital or some rehab facility or something, crying out, messed up, track marks, help me, I can't get out. Because we desired these things rather than these. We are all on a direction. Education is directional and it is important, but not like the world sees it. Let's see it like God sees it. Let's lead kids to the truth. Let's teach them that God is real, that he does work in the lives of people. Regardless of what the world says, he works in the lives of people. And if it's just a little movement in your heart this morning in a pew, that's God working. And that's much more important than money in the bank account out there. I want my kids to love God. That's the first thing I want them to do. I want them to know and love God. And then do whatever it is that he wants them to do. And if that's to be the most godly, best, happy gas station attendant, then fine. I'll take it. As long as they know him and love him first. Because somebody could walk into a gas station and may need to hear something. They may need to hear a good word of God. The coworker may need to hear that. I'm not going to disparage anybody that does anything to try to provide or do something to put food on the table or work or care for themselves. But the first and the foremost thing is that I want them to know and to love God. And I have to do all these things. It's my duty. It's your duty. If you're a parent, it's your duty. If you're a grandparent, it's your duty. My parents weren't walking me toward God, but I heard it from my grandfather first. That got me a little bit in this direction. And then I had a nice teen friend that said, hey, you should come to church. Look at that. Now I pulled, but here we go. Again, it's that directional thing. Where are you headed today? What is your direction? How are you directing those behind you? I pray it's toward God. Sam or Caleb, come to the piano, please. We do this day. This is the sixth year. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the children because I don't have them all in my Sunday school class, the little ones, but I've done children's church, so I experience them there. As they get older, obviously, then they come into my class. I've had Arian for a while. She's a blessing in the class and asks a lot of good questions and things like that. I really appreciate having somebody before me, but that is an awesome responsibility, even if it is for 45 minutes a week. I spend a lot more time studying the stuff than I spend talking in there. Just going through it, going, is this what I possess? Am I walking this direction? Am I hearing this? Am I obeying my duty to God? All that has to come first before I speak a word. But we're all here, the teachers are all here to help you as a parent to encourage your children in the Lord so they'll know him, love him, and find out what he wants them to do. But we're a small part. You have the greater part. So if things go south, don't write your Sunday school teacher a nasty letter. Don't write the pastor a nasty letter. If you've neglected those things, look inward and say, hey, maybe my compass is corrupt. I ought to get that fixed. Or maybe I just don't know how to use it. Point it towards God. Amen. If God has spoken to you today, if he's challenged your heart about education, if he's spoken to you about how you can help in that way, grandparents, help your children that as they raise your grandchildren. Support them. Encourage them in the Lord if they're following God. Encourage them. Older folks, your children are in here, encourage the young people that are in this church. I get encouraged a lot as a young teen in the church by some older folks who cared for me. I needed a little tap on my compass, right? So some people may need that sometimes. And you know what? Sometimes mom or dad can't say it the same way as somebody else does. Amen? All right. If God has put somebody on your heart, maybe they're not even here today. And maybe that's a struggle for you. If God's put somebody on your heart, come on, pray for them. Pray. Go to the direction and say, God, I don't know what to do with this, but I know you do. And your direction has told me to pray for those. So it's a sin if I don't pray for them. Pray for them. Love them. See that they would that they would get back on that track, on that good direction. Amen. All right, if God has spoken to you, now is the time. Now you can speak to him. Thank him. Thank him. If you're on the right track, thank him for a good compass. Be thankful for the map that you have, that you're not just lost out there wandering, doing your own thing. Be thankful that you have a guide. How about be thankful for your preacher, for your local church?